Everything you need to know about high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. The Rudin Report presents Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rudin. We're brought to you, as always, by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, served fast. Welcome to the new show. We're going from basketball to, if you use a stick or you use a bat, we're going to be talking about your baseball, softball, boys and girls lacrosse. And we have a great first episode for you. I'm holding a great hand with a pair of jacks, Staples baseball coach Jack McFarland, and from the New Canaan boys lacrosse team, their outstanding goalie and three-sport athlete, Jack Crowell. I've been really, really lucky with the football and basketball shows with Sean Ireland and Mike Walsh to have great ex-coaches who really know their sports to be my co-host. And I hit the hat trick with our show this year for the spring, the baseball portion of the show, which will probably be the start of the show. I've got a great co-host. He was, along with Tim Egan, the dean of baseball coaches until stepping down, and he's going to be my co-host this year, former Danbury coach Sean Ratchford. Sean, how you doing?
Doing very well. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Easter.
You're very excited
that baseball is underway.
Yeah, it opened up yesterday with the FCAC SEC Challenge, and you're just another great coach who segues into being a broadcaster, I guess.
Obviously, I think every ex-coach would like to be a coach, but life sometimes deals you opportunities. I wanted to be on the Board of Education, so I chose to go to the Board of Ed, which meant I had to step away from anything Danbury as far as the pay.
Well, Danbury, you'll still, fortunately for Danbury High School, be influencing in some ways with feeder programs, helping to keep the Hatters strong and hopefully make them stronger. But opening day, what the FCAC went 6-10 yesterday against the SEC. What's opening day like for you, and how much do you read into opening day results? Is a win or a loss on opening day any different from a midseason win or loss?
I think the opening season tells you how well you were able to prepare in the preseason. You had your scrimmages. You went out. You tried to play good teams. We always try to play teams that were in the tournament the year before. You want to win. You want to win every game that you play. But the reality is, in baseball, teams are going to lose. Teams are going to lose a decent amount of games, and it still means they're good. You want to look at what did we do well? What do we have to work on? Was it hitting? Was it pitching? Was it base running? Did we the moment a little too much for us? And you adjust as a coach. So, yes, I want to win every game. I'm sure that every FCAC team wanted to beat the rival. I love the rivalry. I think it's great for the state. I think it's great for baseball, but it's not the end. You have 19 more games. You got to get your team ready so that you can make a run in your playoffs and then in your state tournament.
I was at Fairfield Ward for the opener against Lyman Hall, the preseason numbers 1 and 2 teams in the state. And Ward had a rough day. They got a couple of runs in the first inning, and then against the defending Class L champion and number one team at the end of last season, Lyman Hall, they just kind of wore Fairfield's pitching down and came away with a 10-4 victory. Ward came away with a 10-4 loss, and I talked to Brett Connor after, and he was more upset. He didn't think his team had the intensity that it usually, as he said, what Ward baseball has. I think that's what frustrated him from X's and O's and physical execution. I think his mood was just sort of, It's one game. It's a loss. Losses happen. We played a good team, and you just don't want it to snowball into anything more. And you just sort of brush it aside as a learning lesson. I'm guessing the times you've had opening losses, sort of the same approach.
Absolutely. I mean, a coach is a teacher. Your kids aren't on scholarship. Your kids aren't being paid. So who knows what they brought into the game? Who knows what happened the day before in school, in life, at their job? So he's going to look at what happened. You know, did we relax after we got those early runs and think that, oh, here we go, we're all set? He's going to coach him up. He's got a great staff. They'll be ready for game two. He'll use that as a hammer. Again, you use the things that you see in a game to teach. You also use it to drive your team. Hey, when they have a bad practice, guys, do we want to lay another egg? Are we going to go out on a stage like this and lay an egg? No, we're not going to do that. So,
yeah, looking at this season, and a lot of the guys we're going to talk about, you're familiar with because there's a lot of returning talent. But number one, the thing that struck me working on previews, FCAC is still a real pitching-rich league. And I remember the days when you had the three-game tournament, and if you had one really good pitcher, you could start that guy in the opener, and if you got to the championship, the final. And then a lot of times you would have semifinal slugfests, and you hoped you came out on that side. But almost everybody, it seems, has one good starter, and now you're looking at teams that have two and, in some cases, even three really good starters.
And again, that's what the change of the schedule did. It means you have to invest as a coach in developing a second, a third pitcher, maybe a closer. So I think it helped other kids get an opportunity to play. I think it forced us as coaches to say, hey, we got to invest in pitching. We can't do what we used to do. We can't, like you said, do a Monday and pitch our stud the next time we play. So I love it.
Is there anything you could pinpoint why pitching's been particularly strong? Actually, baseball as a whole has been really strong, and we're going to talk about that coming up, but I know there are a lot more facilities where you can play off season, and baseball players, if you play another sport, they're still doing a little bit of work where they can. And if you're only a baseball player, you can basically play as often as you want to, or at least get some training. Is that one of the reasons why we're kind of going through a strong period with the sport?
No, I think absolutely. I think number one, you look at the players that left Connecticut and went on and were successful in college and then the pros. And you say, hey, I want to be like this guy. I want to be the Dark Knight with the Mets. I want to go and pitch in a World Series and get a World Series ring coming from Staples High School. So the success of the Chad Knights and players like that in college means I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to put my eggs in this basket. And I want to pitch. I also, in high school, want to play another position, but I'm going to, you know, my bread's going to be buttered by pitching. And as you said, there's facilities around the state. There's it's a big business now, big business for kids. And you get to the right facility, it clicks, and you can end up in college.
Because we're so pitching rich and just strong in general, I was working on the preview. There are just so many good teams now. There are fewer and fewer, if you want to call them sure wins. We probably do that in the media. Coaches look at it a lot differently. But you know, I tried to pick my top five teams, and there were really 9 or 10 in there. I went with Fairfield Ludlow and Fairfield Ward, and that says something. If that town only had one high school, I don't know how you would have a strong second and third team. New Canaan.
Go ahead. In the league when they had one high school and they won a state championship, so let's not see that again.
I remember I covered the league then. So, and then you have Staples and Trumbull, and then I didn't even mention Greenwich, Norwalk, or St. Joseph, which certainly could end up being not only top five but higher. And then a team like Stamford, I think that's a sleeper team that was dangerous and kind of flew under the radar last year and can fly over the radar this year.
I love sleeper teams, and I think you're correct. That's every year there's a team or two that comes out of nowhere. The momentum, the moment's not too big for them. And again, there is good coaching in this league. So you got to bring it every day. That's the plus of the FCAC is that you're going to play a team every day that can beat you. The other hard part is you're playing baseball. So you look at Major League Baseball, there's a reason they play over 100 games. The winning team is going to lose 60 games. And that doesn't happen in any other sport.
Yeah, the other thing, the spring sports, more than any other season, seems to be a sprint rather than a marathon that might be in other seasons. It's over in a blink of an eye, and you don't have time to rebound if you hit a slump.
Well, like you had on last week when we spoke, you had on a pitcher from Norwalk who's a really good pitcher who's injured. And as you said, it's a blink of an eye and the season's over. So we used to divide our season into four parts, five-game series, and we want it to be 3-2 minimum in each of those five-game series that we played.
What were you able to do to be so successful at Danbury? I know a lot of coaches who considered you told me you're either the best coach or certainly one of the best coaches. And as you said, the coaching's quite good. And you're coaching in Danbury. Things are a little different if you're in inner city school now than if you're in some of the suburbs and more affluent areas and towns. What were you able to do to be so successful? You never had a team that underachieved that I ever saw. You had teams that maybe finished, didn't have great seasons, but didn't have the talent that you normally do. But what were you able to do to be so successful for such a long period of time?
First of all, thank you very much. I think every successful coach coaches in high school the kids that he gets. So we had to do a lot of things that other teams maybe didn't have to do. We had to play small ball. We had to be able to control base running. We had to be able to pick players off. So we worked on all that. So we were a pain. You had to prepare to play us, which gave us a little bit of an advantage going into the game. And I think that's our challenge to the kids every year was, can we win a run one game? Can we win if we get two hits? All those things, you have to figure out a way to do that because baseball can do that to you. We beat Norwalk one year. They were outstanding. We had one hit, but that one hit gave us a 1-0 win over a really good Norwalk team. So you coach what you have. Again, I think the league has outstanding coaches.
One of the cool things about it, too, is a lot of former players and younger former players, which has been the case in basketball. And it's kind of nice to see former players that are coming back and now coaching again.
That is a coach's dream. You can't. I can't tell you how nice it is to have them until you play them, and then you want to beat them because you want to still be the king of the hill. But I love that. It speaks about the programs. It speaks about the kids that you produced, and it speaks about the league. Come back, give back. I think that's fantastic.
From what you've seen so far, read about, and. Any teams that kind of stand out to you to keep an eye on this season?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think the Norwalk preseason with all the pitching that they projected to have, again, it may not come to fruition. St. Joe's returns as a state champ. Trumbull has, pitching rich, but they also play the game well. Bill does a tremendous job of coaching it. Ludlow's FCAC champs. Coming back, I love the way they play. They're scrappy. They never give up. You have to beat them for all 21 outs. They're never going to give you a chance. If it's one out they got left, they still believe that they can win. I love that. Ward, you got three Division I pitchers that are, three Division I players that are on their team. So it's going to be really good baseball. It's going to be really fun to watch. It's going to be really competitive.
Sort of interesting that Norwalk yesterday, I was looking through some of the boxes, and they actually went with Marcus Villafane to open the season instead of Chaker and came away with a 4-0 win over an always strong Amity team. So that kind of bodes well for Norwalk being able to handle the Irmo injury. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to go from talking to one dean of baseball coaching to two of them together. Staples' Jack McFarland's going to join us on the other side. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
The Rooten Report Live presents Bats and Sticks, a look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse with Dave Rooten on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and now that Sean's not coaching, now that Tim Egan's not at Wilton anymore, we've got a new dean, new veteran of baseball coaches, and he joins us right now in his 21st season at Staples. He's made the records, consistent power, Jack McFarland. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
How you doing, Dave? Happy Easter to you and Bird.
Yep, Coach, happy Easter to you as well. A season-opening 5-3 win, and not only do you have to be happy with the win, but the way it happened. You had to score a run in the seventh to tie the game up at 3, and then in the eighth you put two runs together, and nice win for you.
Yeah, I mean, we got there, we were a little surprised. The kid on the mound for Cheshire was throwing 87, 88. He's a Coast Guard commit. And it was a dogfight. We were losing. We were down 2-0 in the bottom of the sixth. We got a 2-run homer on the top of the sixth. In the bottom of the sixth, they scored to go up 3-2. We tied it in the seventh, and we were able to scratch a couple runs in the eighth.
We were talking about how this is a pitching-rich league, and you have one of the top pitchers in Bruce Schlegelmilch. I'm going to have a hard time spelling and saying that. Oh, yeah, you got to do it all the time. He gave you four strong innings until his pitch count got up there, but only gave up a run, and an unearned run and a hit, so you had to be happy with his debut.
Yeah, he threw well. He commanded the zone. You know, this early in the year, Dave, you're going to see a lot of teams using committees, 3 and 4 pitchers. And that's kind of how we handled it yesterday.
And most of the good coaches, you in particular, I know it's all about keeping the pitch counts down early on. You always say it's about, you know, getting into the playoffs and worrying about what you're doing in late May and June and not wearing your pitchers out in early April.
Yeah, no question. It's all about availability. You know, if those guys aren't around in mid-May, then, you know, it's going to be very difficult.
What about the outlook for the team as a whole? You lost a lot. You still have some key players back as well, and a lot of new starters. You like this team you're bringing into the season?
Yeah, you know, Dave, we always play and coach with high expectations. We try to embrace those. We've got a great senior class this year. Led by our leadoff hitter, Jules Cicero, you know, Vince Vega, Mason Tobias, Mark Kelly, Connor Brill, Jack Jacobs, and Paul Dottori, who's our catcher. You know, the seniors set the tone. You know, they create the chemistry, and that's a big responsibility. If you're a player-driven team, you know, those guys need to bring everybody into the fold.
You know how much I love Pulp Fiction's my favorite movie. The fact you have a Jules and a Vincent Vega on the team, I got to come up. I don't know if I'm going to call them the Pulp Twins or I got to come up with a nickname, but I remember when I found that out 2 years ago. That was one of my favorite things. Sean, jump on in here.
Well, Jack, congratulations on a great opening win. And extra innings, it's always nice to win the opener.
Yeah, it is, Sean.
Do you think your team did well, and what are you looking for that you got as coaches have to do to help them get better?
Well, you know, the great thing about yesterday is we threw two guys out at the plate, one with the infield in. Our backs were against the wall, so we saw a lot of situations. So yesterday, win or loss was a big positive for us because we got everything thrown at us yesterday.
Fantastic. And
you know what it's like, Sean, going up the SEC when you're on the road up in Cheshire or whatever, and it's not really a friendly atmosphere up there.
It's a great way to start. See, I love the rivalry because then you can use it to teach your kids, hey, guys, this is what the states are going to look like. This is what the FCX is going to look like. There may be crazies up there yelling at them, and they may be adults, and you've got to deal with it and win the game.
Yeah, no question. As the game went on, it was definitely a playoff atmosphere. People started filing in, and as it went into extra innings, it was pretty tense.
How great for, you know, from both your perspectives is having this challenge, and they kind of match up teams of, or try to have comparable abilities, at least based on the recent past. But how great is it for you guys to get that kind of, as you said, state tournament experience right off the bat?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to speak for Sean, but I think it's a great thing because, number one, we have to find five teams out of league to fill our schedule. So that's not easy. And that provides at least one, and then it makes it a little easier to fill the schedule. And on top of it, it's going to be a rivalry and a great game. So it's a good opening week.
100% agree. And as Jack said, you find out about your seniors. Your seniors lead your team. They go into this game. You're going to know where they stand. Are they able to keep your team together? The other great thing about this is you're going to play a good team. You're going to play a good team. And as Jack said, he talked about the different situations. You hope that at the end your team can handle situations. When they handle situations at the beginning of the season, this is something special. This is, you're like, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah, no question, Sean. And I don't even mind starting on the road because you're not winning any championships on your home field. You're going to be on a bus going somewhere, and this kind of toughens you up a little bit.
I love that, Jack, because our statement used to be five bus trips. Give me five bus trips. That means we're in the finals, and we'll take our chance.
No question. That's great.
Jack, what about the league this year? On paper, it looks like it's as strong as it's ever been.
Oh, yeah, I think one of my assistants told me there's at least 12 Division I pitchers in the league this year.
Jeez.
12. That's a lot. I know Trumbull's got two. To me, they're probably at the top of the league right now, based on what I can see. Between their hitting, their position players, and their two pitchers are real good.
Who else impresses you? Sean and I talked a little bit. I looked at my preview and picking the top five, it was trying to shoehorn 9 or 10 teams into five spots.
Yeah, Ward, St. Joe's, love both Fairfield teams. Norwalk, obviously. There's always something for Lillian and Stanford, now. Whether it's West Hill or Stanford, you know. And then there's Danbury and Ridgefield up there, which, you know, that's always good baseball. So,
well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I'd like to talk with both of you just sort of about the state of baseball and about it being so strong, why it's being so strong, and how you stay strong in an area where lacrosse is played at a level as well as any place in the country. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Jack McFarland on the other side. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and Jack McFarland, Staples baseball coach, has been kind enough to stay with us. And I actually want to turn this now for the remainder of our time together into a little bit of a roundtable. And just the state of baseball right now, where it's come from, where it is, and where it's going. And we've been all doing this a long time. Am I wrong, or is baseball right now in the FSAC being played as at high a level as ever?
Yeah, and Dave, I would say it's playing at a real high level right now. The hardest thing for these high school kids, and I think Coach Ratchford has a good grip on this because his son's a college coach, is finding slots for these kids. There's half of these D3 rosters have Division I kids on them right now. UConn, for example, has a bunch of kids that started in Division III. So Division III is nothing to sneeze at. You know, JUCO, Division II, wherever that, you know, you have to go where you can find a slot. And it's not easy. It's very competitive.
I agree 100%. The portal has changed not just baseball but sports. As Jack said, you got to get a kid in a place where he's wanted, and then the following year he can transfer. I look at Cam Perkins from Danbury High School for basketball. went up, was the player of the year. Now he's in the portal, hoping to move up to another level.
Is he in the portal right now? I missed that. That's good for him.
According to the Instagram I got, yes, he's in the portal.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's changed everything right now. One of my biggest pet peeves, maybe at the top, at very top of the list, is when people look at Division One as the defining line. You're a good athlete if you made it to Division One. Now, if you're playing at college, you're playing on the Division Three level, you're a really, really good athlete. I think now with the portal and NIL and everything, we're going to see, you know, some people that are on the border of Division III and Division I. Now you have the opportunity, you go Division III, and if you play really well, you go in the portal, and that's your route to get up to Division I.
Oh, no question.
You choose to go to Division III, you may go there for an education. You may be a NASCAR kid, and you get to play, and you play good baseball, and then you go for postgraduate year, and then you get drafted. I think that not all kids are going just to play baseball. A lot of them want to play at a high level, but some of them are going for a good education or for a great college experience.
Jack,
no question.
What's it like with your
play? You have to match your academics with your athletic ability, and then whatever happens after there, you know, you have your data. If you're leading the conference, you know, at Endicott hitting, you know, then maybe you can move on to a UConn or a place like that.
How hard is it for you working with your players just to, in the new landscape right now? You're sort of eyeing, you're a third baseman. Who has third baseman coming back? How many third basemen are on these college rosters? And you decide to commit to a school, and then all of a sudden they bring in two players at your position. I don't even know how you navigate the process now.
I think the thing that you do is you look at the roster before you go there. How many kids from Westport, how many kids from Danbury have been on that roster before? Do we have kids in that league? Are there FCS kids? Are there State of Connecticut kids that play in the SEC, that play in the MAC? And have they been successful? And then you're hoping the coach will be honest with you. If the coach is loving your catcher, but he's also trying to get two other catchers from somewhere else, I'd rather a coach say, look, this is who I'm going for. I don't have a spot for your kid. Yes, he's a Division I, Division II player, but you may want to look elsewhere, coach, so he can play. I love and respect the heck out of that.
Yeah, no question, Sean. You also have to be versatile. Okay, Ward's shortstop from a couple of years ago is playing left field for Yale. The brothers from Ridgefield who really could hit the ball, they both got moved to the outfielder. One was a top, one was a third baseman. So you can't really look at it as a position. If you can hit and you can do some damage, they're going to fall for you. But you got to perform.
How much more difficult is it coaching now with the breadth of talent throughout the league? And there was a time, you know, back in the days where you could look at maybe three or four games and you knew you could throw your third or fourth pitcher and you still had a good chance of winning. That doesn't happen anymore. Has that changed the way you coach?
I don't know if it changed the way you coach. I think it helps you be a better coach. It helps you produce better players. You ask why we're getting better players, because we have a really good league with really good coaches and really good players. So that means that there's not going to be a day where Jack can throw a Sean Ratchford and expect to win. He's got to compete. He's got to play. And again, that makes you better so that you get in a tournament, you can win an extra inning game against Cheshire by hitting a two-run homer in the sixth, by getting a scratching out a run in the seventh, and then getting two in the eighth. That's tremendous.
Yeah, I think what Sean said before, you know, holds a lot of weight. To coaches now, that they're looking for 3, 4, and 5 pitchers. It's not like the old days where you have 1 and 2, and they go Monday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday. That's when I used to pitch at Ward. I'd go every other game. Those days are over. So yesterday we had to get our hardest outs, which are the last 6 outs of the game, with our 3 and 4 guy. And that's just the way it worked out.
You look at the landscape right now and all the other things coaches have to deal with, and you look at the demands and you look at parental interference is still one of the biggest problems with high school sports. Is it getting to the point people aren't going to be able to coach as long as you have anymore? If you were starting now, Sean and even Jack, do you think you'd last as long in today, if today's way things are today were the way they were at the very beginning of your careers?
That's a great question. I think the most important thing is your preseason meeting with the parents, where you set down your expectations, you set down your goals, and they want to have input. They want Johnny, you know, to go to this school or go to that school. You're the expert. Jack has an incredible record. He's the expert. If he says that this young man should be in this school, I would hope that they would listen to him. Is it harder to coach nowadays? Yes, because everybody has a pitching coach. Everybody has a hitting coach. Staples has a great pitching, a great coaching staff. They want to win, and they want to help you get better. They put kids in Division I schools, Division II. They have a college, a World Series winner from their school that played at UConn. So listen to your coaches. Jack wants you to go and play at the best place you can play. So I hope the parents buy into that.
What about for you, Jack?
Hey, Dave, I just think you have to evolve as a coach and a program. You know, there's stuff like social media out there. You have to have some kind of presence. If nobody can find your scores or they can't see a kid, a highlight, a video on there once in a while, they're going to be like, how come I'm watching Ward and Danbury and Trumbull highlights and you guys don't even have a web page or whatever? And that's stuff that wasn't around when I first started. But, you know, we have a presence now, and it's just something you have to do. You have to evolve, and you have to do it for the kids. So, because we're in the kid business. You know, like Sean said, we're teachers. So we want to help the kids get some exposure. I think I have like five photos of myself pitching in 1984. These kids have videos and everything else, and you know, it's pretty cool.
Well, we could be doing this.
I was actually coaching when Jack pitched. I was the assistant coach.
I was probably covering. No, I was when Jack pitched. I was almost at the start of my career. But you know, guys, we could do this for forever, and maybe we'll later on the season dedicate a show to it. But Jack, thanks a lot for taking all the time here. Congrats on 1-0, and I know you got Norwalk and Fairfield Ward coming up this week, so I'll go let you relax a little bit and prep, and thanks again for joining us.
You got it. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter to you
also,
too, Jack.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's as you see, Sean, we're going to have a lot to talk about all year.
This was a blast. I love this. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you so much. I'm so lucky to have you. And we talked about opening day. You went 1-0 today, so you're off to a good start. I'll let you go enjoy the holiday, and I'll talk to you next week.
Fantastic. Great holiday yourself. Great job. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And we are going to now segue to the sticks part of the show. We're going to take a break, and on the other side, I'm going to be joined by New Canaan goaltender Jack Crowell. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Let's get back to the action. The Rooten Report presents Bats and Sticks, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to segue from the Bats and Stick to the Sticks part of the show. And I wanted to have an athlete on, and it actually wasn't a difficult choice after I started looking at some of the returning players. It's not often I get a guest on that's talented enough to play three sports, not at such a high level, and is capable of playing all three sports in college. He's going to be playing lacrosse coming down the road at Princeton, but right now he's, fortunately for New Canaan, the goaltender on the team, Jack Crowell. Jack, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. I could have had you on during hockey season, could have had you on during football season, but a 13-9 opening win yesterday over Mamaroneck. Tell me a little bit about the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great first game in general. At half, we were up 5-0. It was going really well. We didn't have the best second half, but I think it was good because we learned a lot about ourselves during that second half. And Coach Buzz is kind of like he's been talking about getting better each week, and I think that was a great first week to start, and just excited to get back next week and get better.
I was just looking at the box score here, and you had 10 saves. I know you normally share with Cam Lydon. You played the whole game yesterday?
Yeah, Cam is he has a wrist injury, so he's just making sure he's 100% before he comes back.
Okay, it's not going to be long-term, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's it like, and this gets talked about, both of you could start at just about any other school and are standout goaltenders. How do you guys make it work? To me, it's just fascinating. Two people of your skill levels are willing, not you know, willing and have bought into each play and a half. It's sort of an unusual situation that you guys have all made work.
Yeah, it definitely is unusual, and it is hard doing it with two goalie system. But, I mean, Cam is, like, he's, like, one of my best friends. I've been playing hockey with him since eighth grade, been on Sam Lacrosse team for 3 years now. And, I mean, I think just having both of us on the same team, it creates a competition. And I think it just makes each of us better. And it's just such a tool having two great goalies on one team. And, yeah.
When your coach Chip Buzzio first came, you know, with this idea and game plan and talked to you guys about it for the first time, what was your initial reaction?
I was excited because just getting any chance to play, especially being a freshman, when I was told that, I was definitely excited.
What was the whole idea of just having to share the spot when I ideally you'd like to play the whole game? Was that a little hard to digest?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, as a goalie, you want to have the net to yourself. But when you have two good goalies, it's hard.
How have you guys been able to make it work? And what's practice like? Is you both have to be ready at a high level. It's not a situation where one of you is going to get called in for an emergency or because of the other guy playing poorly or a game getting out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just split practice evenly. Split reps, stuff like that, yeah.
What about the team as a whole? A strong debut, and, I mean, the league never changes. And you know, you, Darianne, Staples is up there right now. You know, Wilton's always strong. Ridgefield's always strong. What about the outlook for the Rams this year?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're just focusing on ourselves, getting better each day. And we got a lot of new guys stepping into some big roles. So I think that first game was big for experience, but the next couple games, we're going to really ramp it up and get going.
Lacrosse is a different sport than others just in terms of the way you set your schedule and the fact that there's really a disparity with some of the top programs from the rest of the league. And so you get to play outside competition. You get to go out of state. And for a program like yours, you're playing top teams in the country from New York, surrounding areas. And I guess you're playing the top team in Ohio this year, which is pretty cool. What's it like with the non-league schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Playing teams like CBA, Chaminade, teams like those, it's great to just, like, be on a national stage and kind of just show what FCAC lacrosse is all about.
What made you decide, first of all, was it hard with your three sports to pick lacrosse? And then, you know, you get the ideal, you're going to get an Ivy League education and play at a really high level at Princeton. First of all, what made you decide on Princeton? What was it that stood out most for you?
I went on a visit, and honestly, I just fell in love with everything about it. I felt a strong connection with the coaches, and I was really looking for a team or with a school that had a great education and also a team that can compete for a national championship, and that's what I found at Princeton.
Did you always know it was going to be lacrosse, or had you ever given thought to either of your other sports?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always had a feeling I was going to be lacrosse. I mean, mainly because my brother committed for lacrosse, I kind of just followed his footsteps.
You are the absolute ideal person I want to talk about with this subject, because it gets mentioned the most. I'm a sports writer, and I get no break between the fall and winter and the winter and spring. I feel like I had no break in between these last two seasons, and just getting right back into things. And I'm only writing about it. You're playing. How do you handle this? Because you really get no, literally get no break, because you're lucky enough to play on teams. You're already a two-time state champion this year, and you're playing at a program where you could easily end up being a three-time state champion. So you're going to the very last day of the season. How difficult is the transition?
Yeah, it is difficult, but I have a lot of, I go to a chiropractor like two times a week, and Coach Buzio is great with the transition between hockey and lacrosse. We were doing stretching, and we were prepping our bodies before the first scrimmage. So we don't like jump right back into it. We kind of just go day by day, and I think that's very helpful.
I mean, you also are playing three sports that are very high contact sports. You don't get much more contact than football. Mm-hmm. Ideally, as an athlete, I know you'll get right back into things, but you feel like you really do need, like, you know, maybe 2 weeks or whatever to really let your body heal and transition from one sport to the other?
Yeah, definitely, especially during that football-hockey transition. After that state championship, my body was still a little rough, so I did take a few days off. I don't think I played in the first game. So, yeah, some time off is definitely needed.
One of the things that's been debated, and it's going to continue to be debated, is the easiest way to give a transition would be to probably get rid of Thanksgiving football and then start and end the seasons earlier, and then you could give a little bit more of a gap between both seasons. It's Thanksgiving football. You playing in the biggest Thanksgiving rivalry in the state with Darien, would you, I know how your football coach feels about this one, but you got to play all three sports. Would you be willing to sacrifice the Turkey Bowl to have a little bit more of a rest between seasons?
Definitely not.
I knew that answer.
Game, yeah. The Turkey Bowl game is just that type of game you can't skip. So, yeah.
What's it been like for you this season to play? You're one of the top linebackers are one of the top linebackers in the state on maybe the top linebacking unit on one of the best defenses, and you won a state title. And then you're considered one of, if not the best defensive player in hockey, and you won a state championship. What's it been like for you?
I mean, it's been awesome. The past experiences in the state championships have been great. I mean, I've been lucky enough to have people around me to help me, like Ryan Brooks. He's, in my opinion, he was the best player in the state this year. And to have him in the middle of the defense, middle linebacker, helping me out was awesome. And also having the best goalie in the state, Blake Pozitek, in hockey. I mean, with a brick wall in there, you can kind of play a little loose and definitely help.
I'm not going to ask you to compare state titles, because that's not fair. But for one thing, in hockey, it was 1972 since New Canaan won. That's hard to believe with the way the program's been. But 1972 since the last title, and the team had gotten to the final and lost 10 times since then. What was it like to finally get that state championship banner to hang at the rink?
It felt amazing to just learn about the history, about 10 straight losses, and it being 54 years. It was such a relief to get that win. Championship.
And what about football? I mean, this is just the level of competition is so strong, and what New Canaan is doing right now, the last few years in particular, but really during all of Coach Marinelli's tenure. But What's it been like playing football and playing on a defensive unit that plays at the level that you guys do?
It's awesome. It's awesome to play for Coach Silvestri and to just build a defensive unit that is so strong each and every year. It's awesome to go out and compete for championships like New Canaan football competes for every single year.
What would it be like to win a third state title?
It would mean everything. I mean, I really want to get this one for our coach staff in lacrosse because they work so hard. And it's been a while since we got the last one, so it'd be amazing.
Well, Jack, there are not many athletes in the state that play three sports and at the level you do. So congratulations on all the success so far this year. Best of luck with you this lacrosse season, and thanks for taking the time here to talk with me.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was New Canaan's Jack Crowell. Nice opening episode here of Bats and Sticks. And I want to remind everybody, look on the Rudin Report website, look at my Instagram. On May 3rd at Trumbull High School, I'm going to be hosting the Spring Blooms Walk for an Alzheimer's caregiver service. I'm trying to get the entire FCAC to come out. I want every school, all sports. I just want to bring everybody together for a really good cause. I think it would be really cool. I was the former chair of the Fairfield County Walk to End Alzheimer's, and in 4 years we raised $180,000 with athletes. So please be on the lookout for that. Batch of Six is brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Have a good week, everybody. Happy Easter, and we'll see you next Sunday.